We are going on a road trip.
Who's with me?
Woo! Can you dig it?
We are on a mission from God.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Let's go!
Hey, I'm Brian Duffy.
And I'm Russell Davis.
And this is Road Rash. What is Road Rash? Road Rash is Russell Davis and Brian Duffy traveling around the world, something we've done for the last couple of years, so much so that people are dying to know what some of our experiences are. Two guys who literally live life to the fullest. You can't beat this. You can't get past this.
Guys, come out, eat, drink, travel with us. Every episode, including this week, we're going to have special guests.
Every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard.
From a different location around the world.
Don't be a rash hole. Get your devices ready.
Come on out, all you rash holes. Every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard.
Hey, I'm Brian Duffy.
And I'm Russell Davis.
We're going to eat,
drink,
and travel. This is Road Rash.
Road Rash. Road Rash number 5. We are on episode 5 of Road Rash. That's right, Russell Davis and myself, we have had multiple hours. Oddly enough, I want to say episode number 5, but guess what? It may seem like it was just episode 5, but it feels like episode 455 because our first episode was 4.5 hours long. We are making sure that we are not going to take up too much of everybody's time this week because of the fact that everybody's a little bit busy. We got some big holidays coming up. We got a Super Bowl coming up this weekend. We also have Valentine's Day, which we're going to, I'm sure, have a boatload of fun talking about. But for right now, we want to talk about, we got a couple things coming up that have happened over the last week between Russell and myself, where we have actually headed out to Reno, Nevada, and we're going to hop on that call in a couple minutes just to talk about that. I had the absolute pleasure, though, of spending Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Mohegan Sun Wine Festival, which is up in Uncasville, Connecticut. Now, I did this event last year, and I was shocked. I couldn't believe what a great event it was. I'll tell you, I really just couldn't believe how well an event runs when a group of people who are so passionate about what they do really, really follow through with what they have to do. Everybody from, you know, the guys that are picking up the beer bottles and the wine, the broken wine glasses on the floor, to pulling my stickers off of every single surface that happened to be around. Because when I serve food up there, every person who eats my food gets a Duffified sticker. So it's kind of fun. And we also give recipes out in the whole nine yards. So, but I really want to give a shout out to all the good people that are up there between Lindsay Santoro and, you know, Jess Harron, who puts up with all of our kind of bullshit that we put them through. And to give you guys an idea of what happens at Sun Wine Festival is there's basically three nights. So the first night is really, it's a dine around. I'm sorry. The first night is really the chef's dinner. This is where all the chefs that come in for this event come in for the weekend. They come in with their guests. We go into the Summer Shack, which is in Uncasville, Connecticut, at the Mohegan Sun. And it's run by Jasper White. So Jasper White is a phenomenal chef. He's been around for years. Started in Boston doing a bunch of really good stuff with seafood and whatnot. And then he actually opened up his own seafood company. So now he actually buys his seafood from himself, which is a really great way to do it because you're really owning up to the quality. You're owning that standard for what it is that you want because you're buying the fish. Now imagine buying fish from a chef. Okay, this guy literally goes down to the markets. He's got a great crew of people that go down there. They pick out all of his stuff. They come back up. I had posted some really cool pictures on Instagram this weekend of a 250-pound tuna that he had brought in just for Saturday night, which was the celebrity chef dine around. But Friday night, he did an awesome 18-pound red snapper for everybody. He also did these beautiful dry-aged ribeyes that we all got to dig into and really cut into. My personal favorite that Jasper White serves is the deep-fried clam bellies that he serves with his own tartar sauce, which is just awesome. It's so simple. It's so basic. And they are. They're literally the clam bellies. It's the bellies of the clams with all that really good meat and that really good juice in there. And then those little hanging pieces that come off, which are the actual clam itself, the mussels itself. So those are the things that are awesome. He did a really nice winter salad of celery and fennel, just very simply dressed, which is just so basic, you know. And it's so funny because as a chef, to be able to get up there and sit down with a group of chefs, I had the pleasure of sitting next to Michelle Ragusis. I got to sit directly across from Jamie McDonald, also known as the Bear, who you're going to hear a little bit about a little bit later. Chris Coombs, who's just an amazing chef, you know, out of Boston. He owns Duave in Boston and a couple of other awesome restaurants, but Duave just got voted best restaurant in Boston. So to watch all these chefs sit around, oh, wait, I can't forget. My good buddy, Jason Santos. Jason Santos, who you guys all may know from Hell's Kitchen, the guy with the blue hair. That's my buddy. He's a great guy to hang out with. He's a lot of fun. A little bit aggressive, which is what I like. A little bit off the cuff. A little bit... sometimes might need a little bit of filter, but that's exactly what we do. We're chefs, and that's how we hang out. So we had a boatload of fun, and it was just a tremendous amount of time to sit around and really talk and bullshit and talk about food. And it's one of the things that makes being a chef just truly enjoyable. You know, the fact that we get to play with food on a weekly basis and we have the opportunity to make people really, really happy with our passion and with what we really love to do is a great part of it. But when you put a bunch of chefs together, they get to sit around a table and just sit and talk and bullshit and laugh and drink. And, you know, you're there with their girlfriends and wives and significant others and all those cool people. And you get to meet a different person as opposed to the person that you get to meet in the kitchen. So it's really a neat thing. And some of these guys have the opportunity to bring up their staff with them. You know, Jason brings up his sous chef and some of the guys that work in his kitchen. Chris Coombs had brought up his chef de cuisine, who is Adrienne Mosier, who is just, I mean, she's just a wonderful, wonderful person. You're going to be able to hear her a little bit later. Because one of the things that I did was I got to interview about five or six chefs and I just have a couple quick questions for them. You know, what is your favorite night in a kitchen? What is the worst night that you've had in a kitchen? And then as I started to progress, I started to get these amazing answers from all of these people. And I wanted to find out more about it. So what I started to do is then ask them, you know, what do you attribute to success that you have within your kitchens? So when you guys hear all this stuff, I really hope you enjoyed it. It's something that I'm going to start. I think I'm really going to start adding this a little bit more into the show as we move forward. I want people to get a really good glimpse inside of what happens in kitchens. You know, and I can't do it through a Facebook video or I can't do it through a Periscope where you can see it. But there's a passion that happens amongst all of us. And when you put all of us together and we start laughing and we start drinking, shit just starts getting real. So some of these guys and some of these interviews that you're going to hear, you're absolutely going to love. One of the fun parts about Friday night is when we're all done with dinner and we usually finish up. So dinner started at 10. So I guess we finally got over to the club. There's a great club up there called Avalon in the Mohegan Sun, which is really, they bring in these world-class DJs. And there's about two times a year that I fully let loose, full-fledged, 100% let loose. And one of those is in Vegas. You know, I got Shane NDA out there. We got, we got all of our buddies out in Vegas. And then we have all those crazy clubs that happen during NCB and all that stuff. My buddy, and you guys have all heard the intro that we do on our show, which is put on by Eddie McDonald, who's just an amazing DJ. But to watch some of these guys, these DJs work and how they work a crowd, you know, it really plays a huge part when you're thinking about the business, about how music can really work the soul and how it can get you excited or bring you down a little bit or, you know, lowering the tempo, you know, things happen a little bit slower. By raising that tempo a little bit more, people really start to move around. They eat faster. You get the tables turned a little bit faster. So the idea of that EDM or that BPM, those beats per minute with the music, really plays out. But I'm getting off topic again, as I usually do, and y'all know it, and y'all love it, and it's fun. But one of the fun, the second night that I get to get out there and really have a boatload of fun is when I'm up at Sun Wine Festival. Getting into the nightclub and standing up there and just, you know, standing on the chair, and I always talk about the burning thighs the next morning, because what happens is I dance. Man, I dance. I'm no stranger. Look, I'm a 44-year-old man. I get to get out there and have a boatload of fun, but I start dancing around. I drink my vodka, my Goose and Sodas, which I love so much. Although I did have a throwback, I was drinking some Goose and Red Bull just to keep my ass awake on Friday night because I was pretty beat up after being in Reno with the Relax Just Create Boys and Mr. Russell Davis, because that alone was a project in itself, the Reno project. Watching Russell light a bar on fire, you know, going out to all these amazing bars out there and working with Kent and Wendy was just a boatload of fun. And you guys are going to hear more about them as we progress. But to go into Mohegan Sun and to have the amount of fun that we do and watch the event that gets put on is really just awesome. You know, I mean, these guys put on just such a tremendous event. Watching all of these chefs and the way way that they coordinate. They have a whole staff in there. You know, I spent 5 hours in the kitchen on Saturday afternoon making soup and watching the staff cut carrots and onions and celery and potatoes for my clam chowder or for my crab chowder. Watching them mix everything together for my grilled cheese and, you know, teaching these guys how things happen. I'm obsessive compulsive about certain things. So like when I make a grilled cheese, every single corner has to have cheese in it. Every single bite has to have crab in it. Every single bite has to have the marjoram and the chives that go into that. The bread itself that we do, which we do an Old Bay butter that goes on the outside that we preset so that we can just drop it on the flat top and get ready to go so it keeps a really nice crisp. You know, those are the fun things. And to watch this staff get together and play around with it is just a boatload of fun. And then to top it all off, we start this event at 8 o'clock, and they literally just let thousands of people walk through the door, and we're serving them all. And I had the pleasure of working with four women, four young women from Johnson & Wales up in Providence, who were so much damn fun, so much, so passionate. And I know Meg and Sarah, and I can't remember the other two girls' names, and I really apologize, but if you guys are listening, I want to thank you, and I want to thank Johnson & Wales for what you guys did. You know, bringing these girls in, and they all got, and it wasn't just girls, it were girls and guys, but I happened to wind up with four of the coolest girls from Johnson & Wales working my table. You know, they were so passionate about what they did, and they were just so excited to get up there and start to cook and, you know, cutting sandwiches up and scooping out soup and talking to every single guest and slapping stickers on everybody's shoulders and handing out recipe cards. And they really did the whole Duffified brand the way that it should be done, which is about smiling and having fun and exceeding the expectations. And, you know, I've never claimed to be the greatest chef in the world. I just know food. I do things well, and I know what guests want. And so that, to me, is something that's really important. And if I can take that food that I do, I'm good at what I do. I'm just saying I'm not the greatest chef in the world. I just have a boatload of fun with it. So to take that food and take that energy and take that charisma that I have and watch four young women fully get infected by that and then take that energy and take it over to other people. You know, we had more people at the club that night because we really invited everybody back. We wanted them to get into the club because we wanted to talk to them and have fun. So here's to you guys. So Mohegan Sun, cheers. There's my cheers for you. I want to thank you guys just for an awesome weekend. I want to thank all of the chefs that I had the opportunity to speak with, you know, that we were able to sit down and have conversations and talk about kitchens and the passion that happens inside of there. There is there's just something to be said about a group of chefs that have never met before, to be able to get into a kitchen, to be able to sit down and really work together and make things happen. So a couple people that I really want to thank. I want to thank Adrienne Mosier, who is the chef de cuisine at Duave. I totally want to thank Chef Chris Coombs, who is the owner of Duave, as well as the rest of his restaurant group. Did an amazing job. I want to thank Brian Rayout, who's just this guy's just a riot. He's so much fun to hang out with, and they're so much fun. He did this amazing lobster salad that was just beautiful. Him and his wife get up there, and they're just the nicest people to hang out with. So, I appreciate the time that you gave me to talk to me, Bri. Fred Hune, who is who's one of the chefs at Mohegan Sun. I want to thank Chef Kevin DeShane, who is just another a great dude. Jamie Bear McDonald, another rock star. Michelle Ragusis, I want to thank you guys all so much for talking to me. And every week I'm going to have these guys come on. Not these five guys or girls, but I'm going to have different chefs every week where I'm going to ask a bunch of questions. I'm starting to do a lot more traveling again. Russell and I are starting to hop back out on the road a little bit more. So we're going to get out and we're going to start talking to some of these people, because it's been a request from you guys as well to make sure that we get out there. So I want to thank every one of you guys for hanging out with us and listening to this. Russell's going to be on in just a couple seconds. We're going to chat about Reno. We're going to go into my chef interviews, which is only about 10 or 15 minutes. So it's kind of fun. Some of them are kind of loud because we were in the club. Some of them we were on the floor at Mohegan Sun in the wine festival. But another great week, episode 5 of Road Rash. I love you guys for all the massive, massive support that we've had. And anything that you guys want to see us do, please don't hesitate. Pop it into a hashtag rash hole question so that we can definitely get out there and we can start doing some of the things that you guys want to do. You guys want to see some stuff that Russell and I want to do? Hey, man, send us a text, send us a tweet, send us a message on our Facebook or go through our Instagram or any of that stuff. We are on every bit of social media that you guys could ever imagine. Thank you so much, and we are going to chat soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Road Rash Podcast again. We are now just getting off a project in Reno, Nevada. Got something cool going on. Got to see Duffy for the first time in almost probably 3 years. Duff, how'd you have fun in Reno with me?
I don't know. Just so everybody knows, we just got off a conference call, and this is now our music. This is Russell's sentimental music. Can you guys hear that? It's like a nice little musical interlude to wait since Russell said he missed me so much. So I don't know how to shut my phone off because it's not shutting off. And really, I'm not even shitting you. This is exactly what's happening. My phone is locked. It's making noise. And it's like gentle 1960s porno music.
This is like jazz.
Right now, it's literally like a big, huge bush. There's like a big bush and a guy with like permed hair that's happening right now. Okay, let me figure out how to shut this off. So, dude, Reno was crazy, man. That was something I never expected, you know? First off, Ken and Wendy are just wonderful, wonderful people.
Absolutely. So, Ken and Wendy are the owners of the Corkscrew Bar in Reno. And if you guys want to take a look online, go to the hashtag Reno Project, and you're going to start seeing what we're doing.
What was that, Russell?
The hashtag Reno Project.
I have a feeling they have a Twitter, too. What's their Twitter, Russell?
Oh, it is at Reno Project.
Very nice. I like that. I like that a lot.
So whenever we go in and we're trying to do these projects, we want to keep it a little anonymous until we launch the brand and launch the stuff. And March 31st, the world will see what Duffy and I are preparing in Reno. And Duffy, real quick, how was that Irish car bomb?
Russell beat my ass in an Irish car bomb.
3 times.
There you go. There you go. It worked out well for us. It was good. It was good.
When was the last time you've been beaten?
Spain.
Yeah. On a 3,000-year-old
street.
Road Spain, right?
Rota, Spain. Yeah, I got beaten by an Irish guy.
Well, you got beat by a Texan.
There
Irish
you go.
And Texan, man.
Fine shooting. Next time, I'm actually going to try to beat him.
Oh, next time you
come on, man. I can't go down that fast just like that.
Well, you know, guys, we had a blast in Reno. Reno was such a it's been such a great town that's opened
up. Dude, it was freezing.
Oh, man.
It was fucking cold. I was in Nevada, and it was cold as shit.
Well, right now I'm in Detroit, and it's even colder.
Well, yeah, you got that little – you got that lake effect coming over, dude. You got Canadian breezes coming in. No, I thought it was good. I didn't even bring a jacket, man. It was cold.
But you brought a scarf.
Of course I brought a scarf. I bring a scarf everywhere I go. I'm a haberdashery kind of guy. I dress well. I like an accessory, motherfucker.
You
got your buckles under your seat. I got my scarves. Yeah.
I love that.
If anybody doesn't like my scarf, go ahead, tweet about the fact that you don't like my scarf, and I'll fucking delete you.
So the best to tweet about my scarf and I'll fucking delete you. That's hilarious.
Yep.
So if you're in Reno, guys, one of the drunken foods that you have to try that is the food of Reno is the awful, awful burger.
I wasn't that impressed.
No?
No. I hate to say it, dude.
Yeah? What was it?
I wasn't. I just wasn't impressed. I mean, I feel bad. But it was a burger on top of a big mound of French fries.
Yeah, but
he did a nice job. The burger itself was a good burger.
Wasn't 100%. I was so drunk, I thought it was just great.
Dude, I drank a beer. I was drinking a bottle of Bud. I chugged a bottle of Budweiser.
Ah, I know.
I was happy. I love Budweiser.
Chugged a bottle of Budweiser, lost in some Irish car bombs.
I did.
But guys, we're really excited about the Reno Project. Want to introduce you guys to what we're doing out there. You're going to see some other stuff popping up, too. But we're really excited about the concept. I think it's going to be a cool, cool thing that no one else has done. And like I said, March 31st, be prepared, world.
Now, I will say one of the cool parts about Reno was the fact that we got to play. Now, was that called bumper ball?
Which one?
Was that called bumper ball?
Oh, I don't remember.
You don't remember the bumper ball? Dude, they put enormous plastic blow-up condoms all over our body and made us run at each other.
Yeah, I don't remember what the name of the thing's called.
Hey,
the
Mike.
Bubble ball.
I don't know. Mike's on. Mike's our producer guy who's on here. Mike, do you know what that's called? It's a huge ball. You have to step into it. Do you know what that's called?
Are you talking about like where they use them on the soccer field?
By the way, everybody, how sexy is that dude's voice?
Yeah, this is ladies.
That's
and
serious. That's good Mike, shit there.
Meet Mike Murray.
ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I've actually done that before. I'm not sure what they're called, but it's you're talking about like the inflatable balls that you put around yourself and you run around and smash people, right?
Yeah. No, exactly. Fine, I'll do research. Bumper ball. Bumper ball soccer. There we go. Boom. It was cool. The chick who did it, who ran it, was kind of hot.
Well, she was from, she was literally from
It's called knocker ball.
She was from the town that I was born in, Corpus Christi, Texas. So that was awesome. You know, what was cool about that, so we were at the project, the Corkscrew Bar. Right across the street is the University of Nevada, Reno, and there was a big grass field, and a fraternity, the Kappa Alpha Order, was out there basically.
Kappa Alpha, go boys, go Kappa Alpha.
And they were out there playing this bumper ball, kicker ball, but baby, basically it's called knocker ball.
It's called knocker ball. It's called bumper ball. It's called bola chocona. It's called bubble ball. It's called bumper soccer. It's called everything, man. That's what they say right here.
And dude, that was so much fun.
Like, I was out of breath.
You and
dude.
I just running at each other and
dude, I couldn't breathe.
Knocking it. Yeah.
I felt like I was in a Ziploc bag. I felt like I was getting ready to go into a freezer because it was fucking cold.
You felt like your food.
My shit don't go in the freezer, baby.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, you know what's fucked up was that first run whenever you
I dodged
came
you.
At me and then you dodged
I
it.
I did. I juked you. I think it's called a juke.
A juke. You
I juked
me.
I did. I did. And then we full on. But the funny part is no matter what your size is, you hit each other and you're still hitting each other with pretty much the same force and the same momentum. So because there the video was a riot. We'll have the video. We'll post it up on YouTube and all that stuff. But we actually ran directly at each other and hit each other. And we were both full-fledged airborne and flew
airborne.
All the way back. Dude, you knocked my hat off.
Yep. We got our pilot's license.
Yes, we did. Exactly. We got our pilot's license. Yeah. I will tell you this one thing. I was a little shocked. I thought that the boys from Kappa Alpha would have some form of secret handshake.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, they didn't do it.
Well,
I understand
that's a secret.
That's
what makes it a secret handshake.
Yeah, but so what do you do? You just that's called a circle jerk.
Well, I don't know what kind of fraternities you've been in.
Well, I'm just assuming because, I mean, honestly, if it's just a secret handshake, do you have to, like, do inside of closed doors? I mean, come on.
Well, you know, so actually.
Or, like, I thought maybe a gang sign.
Well, no, so you know, and I'm I used to be president of a fraternity at University of Texas. I was president of the Sigma Tau Gamma fraternity. And the secret handshake is, well. Usually there's a secret handshake and then there's also secret words. And that's the best way to identify another brother whenever you meet them. And so the secret handshake for most fraternities, because I know a few of them, because I used to love like dating sorority girls and getting them to teach me the fraternity handshakes that other guys they had.
That's called learned. Masturbation.
Yeah. And so the secret handshakes of these fraternities are meant to happen in front of people, but certain things happen that you won't ever recognize it. So you could look at the handshake and you would never know what was going on that was secret.
I had a secret handshake at the airport a couple weeks ago. Some woman gave me the finger because I cut her off. I took a picture of it after she smacked me across the face when she got out of her car. Yep, it's on Instagram. Go check it out.
The order of the asshole.
And I'll tell you something else, though. I fully expected that the University of Nevada at Reno would bring a bigger party game.
Yeah, I was too, man. I thought these guys were ready to party.
I hate to say it, and I hope I'm not offending anybody, because I feel I'm a little offensive today. I apologize, everybody. I'm a little bit offensive. It's okay. We do this. I get in my moods. University of Nevada at Reno, man, I really hope that the next time that we're out there, you guys bring a better party game. We had to create the whole party, man.
And goddamn right we did.
We did. I mean, even though now the karaoke bar was a little bit different, I was a little banged up at the karaoke bar. How about so? I want everybody to picture this. Picture a 6 foot woman, roughly 300 pounds, 6'2" maybe, because she seemed a little taller once she started speaking German.
Yep.
And she was. She had a very short haircut. She had very small, thin, roundish glasses on. I'm having a hard time. I'm trying to paint a really good picture for Maggie, which, dude, I have to talk to you about Maggie after this.
Oh, excellent. By the way, Maggie's our comic book artist. She is amazing.
Unbelievable. So this woman, the music starts going. I'm like, and it's like, boom, 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 boom. And then she gets up and she starts singing like fucking speed metal, death metal, full fledged in German, like Unkantin Phantom. And I was like, what the fuck is this? It was so bad, dude. It was so bad. And then, I didn't. And then the next thing you know, some girl gets up, this like a very attractive woman. How about the chick in the white blouse, Russell? Very attractive woman. Big, like, red lips. She had that kind of pin-up girlish look to her. I was impressed.
Betty Page look.
I like that, yeah. And I then did. She got up and, like, sang Adele and, like, crushed it out of the park.
Just knocked it out of the ballpark. Yeah.
But Reno was fun, man. I really enjoyed it. Harris. We got to stay at the Harris. Is that a Harris? No, we stayed at the Nugget. Where did we stay?
No, we stayed at Harris.
Harris did a real nice job in an old school Vegas casino or an old school Reno casino. Man, it was a nice time.
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting town. That's you feel a little bit of Vegas, but at the same time, it's got its own unique character, and it's in the middle of the mountains. So every time you look around, you're seeing all those snow-capped mountains.
Mount Rose.
What's that?
Mount Rose. That's the name of the big mountain that's right there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I will say this, that you know, Russell, when you had initially gotten me involved in this project, I was like, all right, cool. Hey, this is going to be a no-brainer. It's a college bar. But this is a different world, man. Reno's a different world. It's not, you know, it's not University of Scranton.
No.
They're a different world out there. I mean, you have a lot of competition that you've really got to work with because, one, why am I going to go into your bar and have a $10 burger, whether it's an awesome burger or not, as a college kid, when I can go right down the street and have a $4.99 24-ounce prime rib?
Yep. Yep.
I mean, I hate to say it, but as a college kid, you know, Russell, and I know, we ate some shit, dude.
Oh, yeah, man. Ramen noodles
all the time.
Vienna sausage on top, sautéed on a George Foreman grill.
Oh, geez, sautéed. I love it. Nice. Taking the actual term of sauté, which literally translated means to jump, and you turned it right into press down with a piece of plastic and metal with a very large African-American guy on there who beats the shit out of people and has sons all the same name. I love it.
Well, you know, whenever you're in college and you're cooking up those Vienna sausages on the George Foreman grill, you gotta make yourself feel fancier, especially to your dates.
Were the Vienna sausages, were they in a can, or was this Cryovac stage?
Oh no, this is totally canned Vienna sausages. I mean, we're going huge style. Yeah. So what would have been would have been a nice rehydrated chicken ramen with a George Foreman sautéed Vienna sausage.
Where did I just do ramen? Oh, dude, where was I? I just did something. I can't remember what I did now, but I actually crushed up ramen noodles into a powder. Oh, I did it for my Christmas Eve dinner. We do a big dish at my house called lavagelle, or a big dinner for Christmas Eve. It's an Italian tradition. You have seven fishes, and I crusted all of my shrimp and my calamari in ramen noodle powder.
Yeah, it was good shit. Delicious.
Yeah,
I love ramen noodles.
So do I.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, and I'm lucky enough in Philly. Now, they're not the ramen noodle like the Mary Young or whatever the name of that company is. But in Philly, we have a place called Chew Noodle, Chew, Cheu, and it is one of the top 20 ramen bars in the country. So, yeah.
Wow.
I'm a huge fan of this place. Unfortunately, you can never get in anymore, but it's a really awesome place. And there's actually a waitress who works there. Her name is Emmy, and she's the sweetest person ever. I adore her. She's beautiful. Check her out on Instagram. I'll give you her name in just a second. She's a super, super, super cool cat. So.
Well, to me, the best meal we had in Reno was at 4:18 in the morning at Eatin' Pho.
Yeah, we had the full balls out pho.
Yeah, we did.
No, we Russell and I still go back and forth on this. Fa, fo, fa, fo, fi, fi, fo, fum. Yeah. So we still go back and forth on that. But dude, we fully ate bull testicles.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and tendon. It was good. I enjoyed it. They did a really, that was, the broth I thought could have been a little bit more, could have been cooked out a little bit more, but that was good shit, dude.
Oh, man, it was perfect in the moment, too. You know, sometimes the best dishes for me don't necessarily have to be the best dishes, just the best in the moment.
Yeah, it was good, man. So anyway, check out my friend. I was just talking to you. She works at Chew Noodle Bar. Her Instagram or her she's going to hate me for this probably. Her Twitter is Emmy is me, EMMIEISME. So she's a super cool cat.
Check her out.
Yeah, she's a super cool cat. But, dude, I'm really excited about the show. Oh, real quick, I have to do this. I have to tell you. Russell, have you ever met Maggie?
No.
Okay. So everybody understands that what Russell and I do is we travel all over the place, and we get to meet these super, super cool people all over the world. But the funny part is that a lot of times we don't actually get to physically meet them. So we just kind of meet them through Twitter or Instagram or messages on Facebook or something like that. And a lot of people are freaky and weird, and that's cool. And I like you guys too. But Maggie is not freaky and weird.
She's just amazing. From what I know, I haven't met her in person yet, but she's just been killer.
Well, and I'll tell you this, she's beautiful, dude.
Oh, is she?
She's beautiful. Uh-oh. Yeah, she's absolutely beautiful. And her boyfriend looks like Zach Brown. And Dan is today my word for the day is super cool cat. Dan, he was like my best buddy. We were dancing on tables together because so everybody understands. Like I did a whole thing that you guys heard. You know, I talked about it a little bit earlier where I was at the Sun Wine Festival up at Mohegan Sun up in Uncasville, Connecticut, and I got to meet Maggie and I got to meet a couple of her friends and she has a very pretty friend named Barbara who's a super cool cat, but she's a kindergarten cat because she teaches kindergarten kids, and Dan, who's just a really cool guy. But Maggie was a sweetheart all weekend. We got her full VIP status for the whole weekend. She got to go through the whole wine festival, and she got to eat and drink and do the whole nine yards, and then go to the nightclubs with us at the end of the night. She was just the sweetest person. I love you, Maggie. Thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me. And Dan, dude, secret bro handshake, brother. I got you covered.
Bam. God, man, you're just going to blow him over the podcast, I see.
No. No. I like chicks, not ticks, dude. I'm good.
Well, boys and girls, maybe we got a cool show today. We've got Brandon Giraldez, who is with Beeline Creative. He is a toy maker, a toy designer. He does action figures. He does bobbleheads. He does everything. And what's really awesome is that he has worked with some really famous people in creating their images and has got some badass stories.
I loved talking to him because in all reality, like so Russell and I kind of come to the table with guests, and a lot of our team that works with us, they come to the table with guests and stuff like that. But when you had told me you were meeting with a toy maker, I was like, all right, cool, great, like another random guy. Like, we really didn't know. I thought it was going to be a 15 or 20 minute thing. It ended up being like a 45 minute interview, I think.
Yep.
And just loved talking to him. God, yeah, he was so really cool, good. Man. So.
You know, and I luckily got to go over to his studio, shop, place of business where he lives as well.
And he gave bell buckles like away.
What's that?
And he gave a bell buckle away.
And I, well, you know, to his girlfriend. But that was the first meeting.
What does she get on the second meeting?
I've never seen her again.
Oh, yeah. Great. That's because Brandon's over there like, all right, hey, sweetie, do me a favor. Why don't you go to Starbucks for like an hour? Russell's coming over. So. Yeah,
I'll tell you, man, he has the coolest man cave ever.
I'm sure he does. Well, I saw all the stuff, and again, we keep talking about a YouTube video. We have some clips of some stuff that we'll ultimately put up there. You guys can check him out as well. But I was talking to him, and there's like Boba Fett in the background, and there was some pretty cool stuff that was hanging. Actually, his Instagram for Beeline Creative, which is the name of his company, is Boba Fett. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
That is absolutely amazing. To me, one of the coolest things that were the Pulp Fiction dolls that he's producing. Really
yeah.
cool
oh,
stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot about those. Those were super cool. Those were super cool.
We should probably get into it then, right, Duff?
Yeah, dude. I'm super happy. Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you introduce Brandon? And I'm gonna get some stuff teed up over here so we can get ready to do this.